This is Rusty Tanton.
And Amber Ray.
You're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that never gives you a fake phone number. In this episode, Amber talks to Katie Graham and Julie Maritek, producers and directors of the Vagina Monologues, in conjunction with V-Day Decatur. They met at Java Monkey to discuss the production, the background of V-Day, and, of course, vaginas.
First of all, what is V-Day all about?
V-Day is a global movement to end violence against women, and it was born from the inspiration of the Vagina Monologues, the play that Eve Ensler wrote. And she wrote this play, and it ran on Broadway, and one of the things she said was that after the show, you know, women would come up to her, and she would think they'd, you know, want to share, like, all these amazing, you know, sexual stories, but what happened was women would come up to her and just confide in her that they'd been victims or they're survivors of sexual violence. And so just through that and listening to those stories, she got together with her friends and decided to form a movement called, they called it V-Day, and it's just all about ending violence against women. And originally it was Valentine's Day, I think, and then, you know, they said, from now on, we're going to call it V-Day until all the violence ends. So, and it's, and she's given the play, the rights to the play, to V-Day. So that way, through the college campaign and the worldwide campaign, which is what Julie and I are doing, people can produce these plays and, you know, not pay rights, and it's done as a benefit. And it's kind of like the main part of the whole event.
Cool. So V-Day and Vagina Monologues are...
They go hand in hand.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Vagina and Vagina, if you want to, you know, forget the hand in hand. They go Vagina and Vagina.
That works too.
Yeah, they're partnered together. It's, basically it's an awesome time for a bunch of women and men, to get together in the audience. And only women are allowed, or people who identify as women are allowed to perform in the monologues. And it's basically a time for really cool storytelling. It's sort of neat because I think that our culture is so overwhelming sometimes by, you know, lights and special effects. And it's a really cool kind of old-fashioned way to tell a story. And I think that that's what has drawn me so much to the monologues, is I love art and I love storytelling. I love storytelling in the avenue of film and photography and theater, writing and poetry. And it's just really neat because it's just a really kind of organic way to tell a story. And
cool.
That resonates with Kate and me very much.
So I guess that's what drove you to get involved with this project in particular then.
Definitely. It's what drove me. Kate and I, we met about 8 months ago, and we started planning this about 6 months ago. And Kate and I connect on a very spiritual and a very deep level. We get along great. I couldn't have worked with a better person on this, and I hope we do it again. And I think that what drew me to it was the sense of you put people in their seats and they have to listen. People, you know, struggle with getting distracted. I know that I check email a million times a day.
Oh yeah.
Short attention span, you know. And I think that what I love about the monologues is, although I'm not a survivor of violence, I have so many friends that have been, and I'm tired and disappointed in how many times I've had to be a listener. And I think that it's hard to be a listener because you get this, you're sharing this experience with this person and their sadness and their confusion and their frustration and their doubt, and it's kind of like, what do I do about it? And what I love about the monologues is, whether you agree with it or you don't, you still have to listen. You still have to sit there. And even if you don't, even if you get up and walk out, which I've never known anyone to do that, but it still makes some kind of statement, and, you know, just forces you to be a really powerful listener.
Is that sort of the same for you? What prompted you to get involved with this, Kate?
What prompted me? Well, I was was in my senior year in college, and I was doing theater stuff, and one of my friends showed this play to me, and I read it, and I loved it, and then I found out about V-Day movement, and that really resonated with me, and so we decided to go ahead and put this production on at our school, and it was a conservative military college, actually.
Oh, wow.
And a liberal arts college. You didn't have to be in the military, but if you were a male and you lived on campus, you had to be part of that program. So I was really nervous as to what kind of response we were going to get on that campus, and we ended up putting it on. We had people actually take some of our signs down, and it was...
Really?
Mm-hmm. But we performed it in a small little coffee house, very much like this, actually, on our campus, and with, like, three women my age that were students and two professors. And it was amazing, and I've never felt so much love in a room those two nights. Just learning about the movement as a whole, I mean, especially I think every year there's different global campaigns. This year it's the Comfort Women. Last year it was Women in Iraq, and the year before that it was for the women in Juarez who, I don't know if you know, if you're familiar, but there's this terrible epidemic in Juarez of, like, these women that just between ages of, like, 15 and, like, 24, young females disappear, and then their bodies just show up horribly mutilated, and nothing is being done about this. And I think finally there's more, like, press around the whole situation, but it's been going on for a long time, and that's every year V-Day picks different situations and different movements to kind of attach itself to and really spotlight.
And are the monologues that are done based around that focus each year?
Yes.
Or
actually, she writes one every year for the specific campaign. So, you know, last year it was Women in Iraq, and I don't think, just with everything going on right now in our world, it was very, very relevant. This year it is... The campaign is the Comfort Women, which Comfort Women is actually a very euphemistic term for women during World War II in the South Pacific that were, if, I don't know if you're familiar, they were used.
I am, but I don't know if everybody listening is. So.
Okay. So they were basically used as sex slaves, and they were tortured and raped, and they would go to, like, these stock stations for the soldiers, and... Basically, my understanding is the government really hasn't, you know, these women are, they're old women now, and they're dying, and the government hasn't issued any kind of an apology or an acknowledgement that, like, this actually happened, and so that's what they're trying to make happen right now.
How did you guys go about finding or recruiting people to be involved in the production?
Emails.
Yeah. Thank God for technology.
E-bites,
emails, word of mouth. Mm-hmm.
Friends that I had done it with last year and friends that Julie had. Just we pulled from our resources. I mean, I think we're lucky. We have amazing women
support
surrounding us. And just...
It was so cool. We Kate and I have, we had a list of goals that we set at the beginning of this when we started this 6 months ago, and we've pretty much hit every goal. And one of the goals to tie back to auditions was just that we wanted a really diverse cast. We wanted women of different ethnicities and ages and sexualities and life stories to be a part of this, because it's really about uniting women. And we were just overwhelmed. We were, like, so nervous. We're like, oh, people come to the audition. And
there were like 50 or 55
oh,
women.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
and how many are actually in the
30?
Okay.
So, you know, we're sorry for you 20 that are listening, but I think...
Exactly.
We want to be all inclusive.
It's inclusive.
As much as possible.
The thing is, it's like, I've had friends that have, like, helped me with this before, and one of which is actually in the production this year, and there's really no big or small role, I mean, when it comes to VA. You know, forget the actual play itself. It's just everybody who helps out has a role, and even in the play, you know, there's smaller, you know, women who just say a few little lines, but I don't really think...
There's no supporting
roles. It's an ensemble piece.
Yeah. Now, I've seen a production of the Vagina Monologues before a few years ago when I was in college. So I'm familiar with what it is, but I don't really know a lot about you know, what goes on and make it all happen. So do the women who are involved in it choose their parts, or do you...
You know, it's really, it can happen that way. I mean, like, the first year I did it, it was just myself and, you know, as I said, three other friends, and we just kind of went through the script and we just picked out the parts that resonated with us the most. This year, Julie and I just had each woman who came in read just a little snippet of a monologue and just kind of felt her essence, just to see what she felt like, what she was all about, and then we cast the roles and invited them to be a part of it.
Pretty much Kate and I cast it this year. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, we did a really good job. I'm really proud of us. And I'm not really proud of us. I'm proud of the women. I think the women have taken this to the next level, and all the women involved, who, whether they have one word or a whole monologue, have really found their own inner voice, their own unique way of presenting and expressing the monologue. And, you know, I can't wait to share with the actresses tonight at our pre-show meeting, just to think about all the women all over the world who have done their monologue. Like, when they're up on that stage, they're sharing those words with women in Kosovo and Canada and France and Spain and Alabama and the Middle East and all over. And it's like such a shared, it's like a sorority of activism, you know.
I like that term.
and we're all really close. And another goal that Katie and I set was that we really wanted both the team who's helped us be on the front lines of planning and implementing this experience, for them as well as the cast, to bond and to connect. And I think that that's what makes being a woman so cool, is that it's so much about sharing. We've had women share such personal stories that it's seriously humbling and beautiful and kind of overwhelming that the space has been created for our cast and the team who, like, put this together to come together and, like, share their own stories beyond the stage.
One of my goals this year, and I know a goal that Julie and I very much shared, I wanted to create a really safe space, like she just said, for women who have been through violence, who've experienced that, to feel free to come forward and share their story, and just to be a part of a movement that's empowering so many women. And men, because I really resonate with a quote that Eve said, is that when you end violence against women, when you put a stop to that, you put a stop to a whole cycle of violence in our culture. I mean, and I just love that quote, and I think that, you know, there may be the perception or the stereotype that it was a gen monologue, it's man-hating, I don't want to, you know, I just talked to an actress who's like, I don't know if I want to bring my husband, but it's so not about that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I went to a military college, and you know, guys came and they loved it.
That's
all inclusive, and that's to me the thing that I think I want to share and get out there the most about it.
That's interesting to me. I mean, when you did it at this military college, I mean, overall the response was positive.
It was. At first, it was very interesting, and we didn't. You know, we put it together in such a short amount of time. We didn't do it in like one of the larger auditoriums that we had on campus. I just really wanted to play it safe, I guess, so to speak. And so that's why we felt like, you know, my friend that owned the coffee house was just really great about letting us use the space that night. But the response was wonderful afterwards.
Very cool.
And so
I think that's, you know, something that's really cool about, I was sharing with my friend Angela last night, is that a lot of spirituality is about, from an absence comes possibility. So from lack comes possibility. So, you know, one of my philosophies is, you know, you make a house, but it's the emptiness inside that makes it a home. You make a bowl, and it's the emptiness that gives it purpose. And I think that for so long, the vagina has been kind of viewed as that void and the lack, because it's cavernous and it's empty, and it has to be filled with something. And I think that, For so long, it's been looked at as such a negative, and kind of thinking that from
absence from lack of comes so much possibility. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about what Kate, and I tied that back to what Kate said about how she did it at a coffee shop last year, and now we're doing it in one of the top theaters in Decatur.
Where are you doing it?
We're doing it Theater Decatur, formerly
right the
Neighborhood Playhouse. And we have the support of the Indigo Girls, and we have the support of
wow.
Melissa Carter's in our cast. She's the DJ on Q100, the Burt Show.
Stephanie Benfield, who's a local house representative.
Really?
So we have so much support.
I just got on the phone with her.
Yeah, I know. It's so cool. And I think that the thing of it is that we use this, it doesn't matter what your space is, what your emptiness is, if it's a coffee house or if it's a theater, whatever that emptiness is, you can fill it with such love. And I think that, you know, much like to associate that with the vagina, you know, it's like in the emptiness of a theater or a coffee shop, you fill it with something so powerful. And I think that that's what Kate and I are so excited about. We have an art gallery at our show, so we have women expressing themselves beyond words. And again, we have the Indigo Girls support. They couldn't make it this year, but we got a letter from them that we're actually going to read to open up the show.
Very cool.
I mean, just like, and so awesome and humbling.
And one thing I want to add, just listening to you, it's like, activism. I mean, we, Julie and I both have jobs outside of this. I mean, this, I would love for this to be my job. That would be amazing.
We're taking today off.
But it's not right now.
Don't tell our boss.
Yeah. But, I mean, this V-Day, the thing about V-Day is it empowers women. It gives anyone an opportunity to pull together her resources and put on an event like this on a small scale, on a large scale. I mean, either way, it really doesn't take a lot. And,
differences or similarities even that you encountered after doing a small scale production in a coffee house versus this one?
We got together. I mean, when I met Julie and I said, you know, yeah, I'm organizing this again. I love, after talking to her and realizing that we connected on a really special level, I said, I really want you to be like a huge part of this with me because I think you share my vision for what I want this to be. And what you asked the difference is, I think the difference, as simple as it is, just the time you put into it, because the past 2 years I've done it, I've organized it with, you know, girlfriends, and we've just put it on in like a month or two, you know, amount of time, and really this year I just wanted to expand, and I wanted to reach the community. One of my goals too is to make it relevant to the community of Decatur and Atlanta too, and I think we really accomplished that just with our Vagina Warriors and our beneficiary and just with the notoriety that it's received so far in
the art gallery and the Indigo Girls.
It's grassroots.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, you know, if I can put this together in a month just with my girlfriends and do it like I did last year and when I was in college, anybody can. And that's the amazing part, is that they have a great website, too, that enables. We actually haven't had to utilize it that much this year, but it's great for women who don't have experience organizing.
They,
like
meaning
this.
Vagina Mom.
Oh, yes, V-Day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
And they've got great tools to use to help you like get started and organize and, you know,
very well organized.
Call to action. Very well. And they respond right away. Like, I talked to Cecil and Shyle from V-Day in New York City probably several times a week, and they respond right away. I mean, it's a very well-connected sisterhood. It's and in a community.
That's great.
So that's, anybody can.
Sister of the traveling pants.
I would love it. I'm sad because it hasn't been done in Dahlonega since that one year when my friends and I did it. And it's,
well, this is a call to people listening in Dahlonega. If anybody wants to organize one,
it really is.
Gold mining.
You'd be amazed. I mean, Julie and I think are just overwhelmed at the level of support that we've received. I mean, just from that first e-bite we sent out for our first meeting to just let people know that, like, this is what we want to do and here's how you can be involved. You'll just be amazed at the amount of people that come forward wanting to help and share their stories, too, because everybody has a story and a reason, I think, no matter what it is.
Big and small. I mean, what I love about Katie is that we're pointing ourselves ourselves the Dream Believers, in that we're really big dreamers. We have really big ideas, but what I love about us is that we've actually been able to follow through with them, and we've been able to be our word and hold each other accountable to be great. And I think that anybody can put together an event like V-Day, whether it's associated with V-Day or whether it's whatever your dream is right now, it is more than possible to make it happen. All you need is, you need to speak into existence, and you need support, and you just need to believe in yourself that you can do it. I mean, at our dress rehearsal last night, when the curtain opened and we saw our set that we had dreamed about, and we saw the awesome cast that at once was just a concept, and now there are these beautiful faces, and when we have a letter from Indigo Girls, and then we have, you know, our families there and our friends visiting, it's just like we have a podcast, you know, it's so cool. And it's just really, like, I think really it's blown us away that
the community
has just been awesome. And if you really believe that you can do something, and you do it with passion and conviction, then I mean, it's done. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's already done before you even start doing it.
I guess just finally then, where do you guys see this going in the coming year or two? Do you plan to work together again, make it bigger, or?
Well, V-Day is going to be a part of me for the rest of my life in one shape or form. I'm sure it will. I want to see it grow, and especially in Georgia and in the South. I would love to see it, you know, done all over little towns everywhere, and I really, like, that's what I love to see on the website. You can see how many events, and I think to see it grow, and I think in Atlanta I would love to stay connected to the community of women and men that we've formed, and doing it on a bigger scale next year, hopefully. Hopefully we'll see.
I would love to to work again with Kate and do it again and learn from our mistakes this year. And, mm-hmm. You know, and I think that Kate's right. It's awesome to do it in a place like Decatur that is very forward-thinking. It's a little safer, but I think that it would be a really cool experience to do it somewhere that may not be as exposed to something like that, because it would just be another challenge. And I would love to do it again, and I think that, you know, Georgia definitely needs to see some more vagina monologues.
It's all about women's rights, and just, I mean, that's at the heart of it. And I think, and that's one thing that's surprising too, that I just want to come back to really quick. Doing it in small towns is important. Then, like, you're so surprised because at the level of support that you do receive, but then it's like, well, it shouldn't be, because it's all about ending violence against women. And how could anybody
not be open to that.
I mean, really. So,
yeah. Well, I guess this is, if anybody out there listening wants to be involved next year.
Let me give them our website.
Yes.
It's www.vdaydecatur.org.
All right.
Check it out.
Well, thanks, y'all,
for talking to me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
The Vagina Monologues took place March 3rd and 4th at Theater Decatur. If you'd like to learn more or participate in next year's production, visit vdaydecatur.org.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you know a Georgia band or a hippie with a guitar that would like to have their music featured in a podcast, have them contact us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com. This way, the ending of the shows won't seem so abrupt.